Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And in the studio, we have Dennis Prout from Prout Financial and also Laverna Whitcup, the account executive at Ford Agency in Traverse City. And we're going to be talking a little bit about your healthcare planning needs, retirement planning when it comes to, trying to see into the future a little bit, which is, that's the conundrum, I think, with insurance, with planning, with your finances. What will you need into the future? How do we ever know, right?
That's a great great lead-in, Colleen. So what we're talking about today, Thursday, 10/18, if we're pleased to have Laverna Whitcup with us here today. I was actually thinking about her coming on this morning, and, boy, we go way back. Their son Hiram and our son Andy were in the Boy Scouts together about 25 years ago. So we've known Mike and Laverna a very long time, as well as their children. So welcome here, Laverna, talking about Medicare Advantage plans in the donut hole and all these crazy terms that people who are thinking about retiring are going to begin to want to think about and know, given this is a complex, expensive area to think about. According to Fidelity, the average couple retiring today at 65 will need about $280,000 to cover health care and medical costs in retirement. We're talking out-of-pocket costs. I think that's quite conservative, given the number that we're seeing
throughout retirement.
$280,000. The average couple retiring today at age 65 will need about $280,000 to cover health care and medical costs in retirement.
That's a lot of money.
The typical couple, yes.
Is this assuming that you're fairly healthy?
I would say that's average health. Mm-hmm. If you're very healthy, obviously it's going to tend to be less, as long as you maintain that health throughout retirement, as long as.
Well, so obviously you have to have a plan. Otherwise, you're going to mess up your kids and your family and your lifestyle otherwise.
Could
right?
be in for some nasty surprises.
Right.
So that's what we've asked Laverna in today. There is an open enrollment for those who are already retired, who already have these Medicare Advantage plans from now until, is it December 7th or 15th?
That's correct, December 7th.
December 7th, yeah. Okay. So open enrollment means that you can adjust the plan that you have and or sign up if you are signing up for Medicare, which means you are going to be 65. What are the rules on that and signing up? Let's talk about the basics first.
Well, first of all, this time of year is the open enrollment, of course, for the Medicare Advantage plans and the prescription drug plans. It goes from October 15th through December 7th. This was the period of time, I always explain it to people that I act as almost like your human resource arm of your insurance product. And if you want to change your plan for January 1st, now is the time to do it. So,
you know, and we need a person like that. Those of us on the
very much
who are shopping for things like this. And if you've never done it before, which most of us haven't, because you only get into this situation once in life, we need a hand to hold.
And that's what I do. I hold a lot of hands, and I pat them along the way, I say. So the other open enrollment you were referring to, I don't want to digress too much on this, but is the individual health insurance plan open enrollment is coming up, or some people call it Obamacare. That's coming up on November 1st, and that ends on December 15th. So okay. This time of year, my office is a revolving door of customers customers coming in to change up their plans.
If I may, I want to insert, by the way, you've been on here before, but you are with Ford Insurance Agency right there on Garfield Avenue. If someone wants to call you, your phone number is 231-941-0450. Thank you.
That's Laverna's number at the office. And if you'd like to ask Laverna Woodcop or Dennis Prout a question today, Thursday, we can't do this on Saturday if you're listening to the rebroadcast, 947-0023, and you can run something by Laverna or Dennis. So, I mean, you talk about changing plans. Something that's confusing to me, and I think, you know, maybe some other people as well, if you have a plan, why would you want to change it? I mean, why don't you just stay the course and stick with the same thing? What are the factors that might influence you to change a plan?
Many factors. I've already had people in my office that are currently in a Medigap plan that would like to open enroll into a Medicare Advantage plan. A lot of people do that to save dollars. Things in their lives have changed that they demand different ways of having their services come to them. Sometimes I will have people that will they want to live in another state for 4 months, 5 months of the year, and they want to change their plan so that that plan will work better in another state in the Medicare system. Some people look at their plans and realize how they use coverage, and they might decide to go down in coverage, go lower premiums.
So they may not need quite the coverage they currently have.
That's
correct. They can adjust it, obviously,
absolutely,
given this last year's expenses.
Yes.
So you can really design these to meet what their prescription needs are, as well as other care needs that they might be looking
medical,
at.
Medical, hospital,
medical
all that
issues.
Stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. About how many plans are available?
Well, if you look at the different carriers that I work with, there's like six different plans with each carrier. The ones that I specifically work with are Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, a Blue Care Network, and Priority Health for the Medicare Advantage plans. The reason why I work with those plans is because of the doctor network here in northern Michigan. That's very important when you're looking at Medicare Advantage plans to make sure that your doctor network participates. There's a lot of other plans in our state, but I'm not necessarily going to tout one company over the other, but I will say that Priority Health is our number one writer of plans for Medicare Advantage.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because of their relationship with Munson?
Various reasons. Their pricing is great, their customer service, their doctor network, obviously, here. I mean, 100% of the hospitals in Michigan, mid of Michigan, participate in it. They just do a really good chance, and they just kind of have the edge on it.
They have a great back office.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's always good to know.
And they treat us agents really well. All the carriers treat us agents really good, but
yes.
So.
Okay. So when someone is thinking about this sort of thing, let's say they're 63 years old. Is that too early to think about this, given that they're not going to be starting until 65, perhaps?
Well, in my opinion, it's never too early to really start, you know, thinking about looking into these. If you're into thinking about your retirement and wanting to kind of get a price on what it's going to cost me down the road, I'm going to say about 18 months out is a good time to start checking the prices. Prices change up every year, so I can give you ballparks of what it's going to, or what you can put into your budget to handle your health care needs. If you're taking early retirement, I'm talking about before age 65. That's a whole nother game that I sit down with people and just help them map that all out. And we get them plans to get, you know, that transition until I'm age 65, and then on the individual market, and then going into the Medicare when they turn 65.
So in your brochure that I got to look at before the show, you refer to yourselves as retirement health care specialists, and that's really, you have become much more specialized.
That's all I do, practically.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a piece of your financial picture. I've always been intrigued by financial planning anyway. Years ago, I had my Series 7 and my 6 and all that, and I thought I was going to go into financial planning.
The investment
planning.
Side oh, yeah. of the picture,
oh, yeah.
yeah.
And I thought I was going to go into that. And then years ago, I realized I'm a really good insurance agent. I really like the business, and I really enjoy working with the people and the insurance products. And so I'm going to say like about the last 3 or 4 years, this has become a niche market for me. And people like you, Dennis, like me because that's all the piece of the puzzle I touch. I don't want your money. I don't want your investments or your finances or anything else like that. I want to be able to sit down with you and show you what your costs are going to be for health insurance, basically kind of giving you an idea, somewhat of an idea for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Tremendous. So if someone is really wanting to get a look, what do you say, or what would you say, rather, is the average cost for a relatively healthy couple at age 65 for their Medicare Advantage plans and other gap plans that they might need?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's going to obviously vary from couple to couple. The first thing you want to consider is that when you go on to Medicare, you do need to sign up for what we call Medicare Part B. I mean, when you go to the alphabet soup of Medicare, mm-hmm. A is the hospitalization, B is the part that you actually have to sign up for.
When do they need to sign up for Part B?
They can do it up to 3 months before their 61st birthday month. Okay.
61st, you said.
Yeah, 65th birthday
gotcha.
Month.
Okay.
That's hard to say.
Yeah. So age 65, 3 months before age 65, they need to sign up for Part B.
Yes, if that's what they are planning on going on Medicare when they turn 65.
Keep now, what if they're already taking Social Security? Will they be signed up automatically?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good point.
So they'd be automatic unless they're not collecting benefits for some of our clients who are deciding to collect at age, well, that. They're not going to collect until age 67.
Right.
They need, who do they contact about this? About signing up for Part B coverage?
You can go online. I have some customers that will do that. Or you can go into the Social Security office here over in Division Street.
Okay, so they can help. And that would be, if you're going online, then it would be ssa.gov or .gov to sign up.
It's medicare.gov.
Medicare.gov.
Yeah. So.
So the cost for Medicare Part B with the Social Security program, if you will, it's its own program, but for a couple is going to be about $265 a month, about $134 per person.
That's correct.
For that basic coverage. And if they want to add the Medigap or Medicare Advantage coverage, it's anywhere from, it sounded like at the break, anywhere from $130 per person on up to $200 or so, depending on the kind of plan that you're looking at per person. So they might add, as an example, $400 a month or so for a relatively good plan for someone in relatively good health. Is that safe to say?
Yes, those are good numbers.
Okay.
Yep.
So about $400 a month maybe budgeting plus the other $265 now that the $265 per couple is coming out of their Social Security benefit. So they're paying it, but it's coming out of their benefit. It's not something that they have to write a check separately.
Only those that aren't taking Medicare when they're, only those that are not taking Social Security when they're Medicare eligible, those people will be paying the government directly for their Part B premium.
And how do they do that? Is it taken directly out of their checking account?
Or? They get a bill every month for a quarterly premium.
A
bill every quarter for a quarterly premium.
Okay,
yeah,
so they pay quarterly.
Yes.
So for someone who is 67, they're not yet collecting Social Security, they probably will want to take a look at their Medicare plan unless they have health insurance, through their current employer? How does that work?
Well, right. If you're covered under your current employer and their coverage is as good or if not better than Medicare for the prescription drugs and the Part B, then yes, you can stay on your employer plan and delay taking Social Security for a period of time until you decide you want to retire or get off the group employer's plan.
Now, what's the catch with Medicare if you're not taking it at age 65? Are there any penalties for not having used Medicare and using your own private plan, whatever that might be?
Oh, yes.
And also, how often do you see that?
Very
Good
rarely.
Question.
I've been probably in the last 5 years, I've seen it about three times. People that have been ill-advised when they came off of their retiree group or off of their group healthcare plans, the human resource place advised them incorrectly, and they didn't sign up for the Medicare Part B in a timely fashion. When that happens, there's severe penalties. The penalty for your Part B is 10% of the annual premium, and that goes on for the rest of your life. You pay an extra 10%. The other thing is...
Oh, that sounds like a penalty that I wouldn't want to have to face.
No, it's not pretty. The other thing is that I'm working with, in fact, with a gentleman right now who was very ill-advised by his company for not taking Medicare. When he left their group health insurance plan, they had him take the COBRA plan, and that he delayed signing up for the Medicare. And he is facing this penalty now, as well as he can't actually sign up for Medicare Part B until January 1st this next year, and then his coverage does not kick in until July 1st. So
he's almost got a year to wait in terms of getting coverage through Medicare then.
He's in a big pile of doo-doo. I mean, I just, as a poor guy, I feel bad for him. But it was very clearly, and he's actually getting his... lawyers involved with it too, because of how he was advised not to take the Medicare.
So anyone who is approaching age 65, obviously they need to come in and see you to see what their options are, what the rules are, what the regulations are, and also to take a look at what their benefits might be with these different plans.
Yes. And come in well before your age 65. Again, a year to 18 months is really a good time. You can really get into the Medicare pretty much at right away when you need to. But the problem is that if you don't plan this out yourself and understand what's going on yourself with the whole thing, then you can mess yourself up pretty bad.
Will you get somebody who's 80 years old on a Medicare Advantage plan coming in to see you and say, hey, you know, do I really need this?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a common thing where people will actually... Well, update this. Now, how often, generally, should someone, after they're already signed up and you said, hey, you're good as gold, you're ready to go, you're 65, have a nice time in Tahiti or whatever, how often then should they come back in and see you to see whether or not their plan's making sense?
They're welcome to come back in annually. And during the open enrollment, we also do seminars on this through our office where we have huge group meetings where we invite all our clients in to go over what the changes are.
Great.
So they can help make sure that whether or not they want to do the change that year.
Tell us about the seminars. Do you have any scheduled right now?
Yes, we have two coming up. One is on August 23rd.
August 23rd is already by.
August 23rd. What am I talking about? October 23rd. Oh, my gosh.
October 23rd. Okay.
Brain is back in the summer. October 23rd and November 8th.
November 8th.
Yes.
And where are those in the times, if you would?
At the Country Club.
Okay.
And 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Yeah, come over and have a cup of coffee and a cookie with us, and we go through not only what is Medicare, we do focus a lot on the priority health plans because of that is our number one company that we work with in the Medicare Advantage plans, and it's just kind of come have a cup of coffee and cookie with us, and we'll go through the changes for the next year, and you can decide whether or not you want to make a change.
Great idea. October 23rd and November 8th at 10 a.m. at the Country Club. And they might want to take a look at what it would cost to be a member there, too.
That's right.
They see how gorgeous that place is. Yeah.
It's News Talk 580 WTCM at 10:33 on your Thursday, the 18th of October, or not if you're listening on Saturday. 947-0023 is our phone number, and Rob is calling from Bel Air to ask a question either of Dennis Prout or Laverna Whitcup. Hello, Rob. Yeah. Are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
What's on your mind?
Well, I apologize if you touched on this because I got in the car here after the program started. But for those of us turning 65 next year, which I am, and we have to enroll in Medicare, how does that affect our open enrollment occurs in November? Right now, I'm on Blue Care Network, and I'm probably going to go back into that. In the middle of next year, I turn 65. How do I get out of one, go into the other? How does that all work?
That's a great question, a navigation question. I love it.
I do too. What month do you turn 65 next year?
July.
Okay, so July 1st is your Medicare effective date, okay? You actually have a seven-month window to sign up for Medicare, but I always tell people, make sure your Medicare is in place for July 1st, okay? And then you can move to a Medicare Advantage plan at that time. That's considered your open enrollment to be able to do that. And then what happens is you still have another open enrollment or annual election period, we call it, in October through December, like I stated before, October 15th to December 7th, to change your plan again for 2019. Actually, it would be 2020 by that time. So anyway, I work with a lot of people that we call them aging into Medicare, and that's what you're describing, is that you're going to be aging into Medicare in July. If you're going to go on Medicare, you want to make sure that's set up for July 1st, and then talk to somebody like me to help you know the next steps.
Okay, now, and thank you for that. You mentioned that Priority Health, the mechanism for that working with Medicare there was an advantage there. Is that right?
Yes, I really appreciate how they handle the plans.
So should I, when I go into open enrollment, I was with Priority Health last year but went into Blue Care this year, should I try to go back into Priority Health? Does that help me in any way when I go into Medicare, or does it not matter?
Because you're starting over with a whole entirely new health insurance plan, it doesn't matter where you've come from or necessarily where you're going, okay? So that all changes because everything starts fresh and new on the date of the first of the month that you turn 65, like I described.
So if I go into, I sign up for July 1st in Medicare, does that not become effective in my current Blue Care network? Let's assume I go back into that next year. Does that continue through the end of the year, or do I have to terminate it, or...
You would need to terminate it as of June 30th.
As of June?
June 30th.
Okay, first 6 months of the year. I get it. Okay, all right. It's going to probably be clunky, but I'll try to work my way through that.
All righty.
Thank you much.
I appreciate
for your call,
the call.
Rob, appreciate it. 947-0023.
Sorry, Colleen. And that is a great example of why someone should sit with you individually so that they can understand. I was just thinking, I'm trying to understand in the phone call what exactly he's asking. And that's a great example of sitting with someone and taking the time to make certain that you hear and understand what it is that they're saying, especially as it relates to this healthcare change and navigating this. I'm going from one to another. What a great example that was. Thanks, Rob, for the call.
Yeah, I mean, you do need to navigate. And then the other thing that came to mind for me is you need to write down and keep track of what you need to do when, because those of us who are just civilians and don't really pay that much attention to this, but we want everything to work out great for ourselves. I mean, you need to know that by such and such a date, I have to do this. And by this date, I have to do that. And how else will we know this if we don't talk with a professional who guides us along the timeline that we need to follow for optimal results, right?
That's right. When I sit down with people, and I will give them very specific timelines of do this then, do that then, and they'll write it all down. And I tell people that I'm a nice nagger that I will.
We need that.
As much as you want me to, I will follow you through to make sure you do the right things at the right time. And so I put little follow ups to make sure that person is navigating that system properly at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Great advice. So, age 63 to 64 approximately, mm-hmm. someone should probably come in to see you, at least review what their current coverages are. What type of Medicare plans, Advantage plans they might be looking at given the current health situation. Should they bring in a list? What should they bring in when they come to see you about these plans?
I like to know their goals, of when are you planning on retiring? I know I'm jumping around a bit, but sometimes people want me to go through, are all my prescription drugs going to be covered? So they'll bring their prescription drug lists in to me, and I'll go through those with them.
Yeah, which is probably a great idea, too, so they make certain they don't forget, what
right.
they're on. Yeah,
that's very important, though. That stuff gets expensive if you're not covered.
Right.
And, you know, this, I don't know if this pertains, but it might, because it's something that you need to take into consideration, long-term health care insurance. And, you know, that's in case you don't want to go into assisted living or something like that, or maybe you do, or, you know, you want someone to be able to come into the house or maybe even live in. And that is very pricey. And it's probably something that you needed to have thought about a long time ago, but maybe it's just coming to mind now. Is that something that you can help guide people through?
Oh, yes. That's a totally different topic in regards to the Medicare, because as you know, that Medicare itself they'll cover up to 100 days of skilled nursing. Okay. So that's kind of a stepping stone for a lot of people to go into other long-term care type facilities. And I was curious, that number that you gave us earlier, Dennis, that 280 some thousand or something like that.
Yeah, from Fidelity, the estimate of health care costs for the average couple at age 65.
I'd be curious to know if that included those long-term care costs, because it is very expensive to go into assisted living. Also to go...
I would bet that it doesn't.
I would be
given the cost for long-term care.
Right. And so this is where I'm very careful to work with their financial planner on this whole thing, because, you know, there's some people that the price of long-term care is so... insurance, I should say, is so astronomical for them that, you know, the safety net out there is the Medicaid system, which is I describe Medicaid as it's aid for those that can't afford it. Mm-hmm. Medicare, I'm getting care as I'm getting older, and that's what we're aging into.
Yeah, great idea. Great way to keep those separated.
Right.
They're very different programs. Medicaid is basically when you spent all your funds down and you need long-term care in a long-term care facility.
So for some people to buy a policy like that when they don't have that much assets to begin with doesn't really make sense.
Right.
Then you've got the uber wealthy people out there that, you know, they can't hardly spend or outlive all their income. Do they really need a long-term care policy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, by the same token, at that stage of life, you don't want to be burdening your kids and grandkids.
That's right.
So to cover yourself is the best.
So
I want to take a quick call here, you guys, if you don't mind. I'm assuming that it's on topic. Mark is calling in from Onaway, 947-0023, if you'd like to join the conversation. Mark, do you have a question for Laverna or Dennis?
Yeah. Just joined your radio program here.
Good morning, Mark.
I was a little concerned about when you said that there are penalties if you didn't take Medicare at 65.
Yes, that's correct.
I work full-time and carry insurance through a company that's a nationwide company.
Okay.
And Social Security said that I did not have to take Medicare until I quit or retired from the job and my insurance quit from there.
That's correct. You are still actively working. You're still covered under your employer's policy. We had touched on that a little bit earlier in the program, where that's where you do not need to sign up for Medicare until you specifically say, I'm done with my company, and then whatever date you...
There won't be any penalties.
No penalties at all.
Okay. I just joined it probably 10 minutes ago, and you were talking about penalties, and I wanted to make sure that I had heard it right from them.
So. You're on a good track.
Okay. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your call, Mark. We appreciate it. Now we go to line two. Ed is calling in from Leelanau County with a question about a friend being diagnosed with a terminal illness. And
before we do that, though, I want to ask Laverna to clarify something. So this gentleman that just called in, let's say I think he said he was 65. Let's say he's 66 and he's still working. How long before he retires, rather, should he come in to see someone such as yourself about planning this? Should it be a year and a half or so?
Well, Chris, me, I'm a planner, so I'm going to say 6 months at least.
six months at least before he's thinking of retiring, should see you.
I have, like I was telling you earlier, Dennis, I have people that come in 60, 90 days in advance, and right now I'm getting people that say, I want to retire at the end of the year, and what do I do?
Okay.
You know, to me, that's a little bit cutting it too close, you know, for planning process. But yeah, 6 months to a year in advance, if you know that that's when you're going to cut your ties with your company, it's a good idea to at least get some numbers.
Great. Now, let's go to this next question then, if you would, Colleen.
Okay, this is Ed calling in from Leland, Alcona. It's a question about someone being diagnosed with a terminal illness and all the implications there. Ed, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My question, Dennis, is this person is in their early 50s and has been diagnosed with an illness that basically is a 10-year prognosis or less. And she's going to be on disability, but, you know, I don't think that's going to cover quite all of her expenses. What's her access to her 401k through work, and any penalties, or how does that work, Dennis?
Well, the 401k plan, depending on all of her retirement accounts, she may have available some of those assets through the 401k or through an IRA. All right. So disability and other health-related health care expenses can sometimes be withdrawn without having to pay the 10% penalty. It's still taxable income, but if her income is lower at that point, then obviously she's not going to pay as much tax. So in terms of drawing funds, we actually have a cheat sheet, if you will, that simply shows what ways she can draw money without having to pay a penalty and how to access those funds and which plan allows those withdrawals. So that's something she'd certainly want to take a look at.
And does that qualify as a hardship or not? Because I know they have some kind of hardship.
Yeah, there are hardship withdrawals, and it might, given the expenses related, that they exceed certain percentages related to income. But that again, would have to be, I would suggest we simply get that information to you, because I can't quote exactly what it is right now, frankly. Okay.
All right, Dennis, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your call. It's News Talk 580 WTCM, and it's New Retirement Radio with Dennis Prout from Prout Financial and Laverna Whitcomb from the Ford Agency. And a lot of great questions coming in, a lot of concerns, you know, I might even call it that. And partly it's because we have to deal with this. Mm-hmm. This isn't like, you know, you just go, well, I'm not going to do that. That's not what you're going to do.
Exactly.
You're going to deal with this.
It's inevitable. So.
Right. So if someone has a question for you or would like to come in, the number there, 231-941-0450, correct?
Yes.
And you're at Garfield on Garfield Avenue.
That's correct.
Ford Agency. So we were talking at the break a bit about possible health care needs for someone who is terminally ill that the gentleman called in with that question. And let's say she's 55 right now. What would you say to those questions in regards to healthcare options?
Anyone that is on disability, like that gentleman described, would be eligible for Medicare pre-65 because of the disability. So Medicare is specifically for those that are disabled or 65 and older.
So they would want to come in and see you in regards to types of care that would be available through Medicare.
Exactly.
As well.
Exactly.
Oh, great advice. So whenever there's a health question in a lot of different regards, people should contact you if there's been a change in health or issues related to that. It would make sense to possibly call you in that regard.
Well, not necessarily, you know, yes, in the disability area, you know, to be able to get onto the Medicare, you know, but once you're onto the Medicare Advantage programs or the Medigap programs and everything, once people get used to how that works, I never necessarily even hear about their health concerns or anything like that, because I get them with such a great plan that they're set up and that I never hear from them again.
Okay. So those are covered when the plans are set up, but as changes occur, significant changes occur, I probably should have said that.
Yeah.
Then they should certainly contact you in regards to getting their plan changed.
That could be, yes.
Excellent. So what are some of the other things that people should know in regards to Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans? How do the plans differ in terms of coverage? Can someone slip in under the radar if they're in excellent health? can they really pay a lot less for such a plan like this? Does that exist?
Yes, Medicare Advantage plans are very much designed, very good for people that are in great health and don't mind paying maybe a small deductible on their health plan, as well as co-pays along the way. Now,
how low could that cost go, as an example?
Zero premiums.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've got plans that are HMO plans for zero premiums out there.
Wow.
Yeah, they're awesome. Well,
I might really have to come visit you. What?
Keep in mind, you still got to pay that Part B premium, so it's not 100%.
Part B is a given no matter what.
Exactly.
Right.
But with the health plan, it's proper. There's zero premiums out there. And I'll be honest with you, I highly look at that plan for myself when I turn 65. By the way, I have many years to go.
Many. As we all do.
So, but, you know, but then the other part of that you can pick up is you could pick up a Medigap policy. That's very different than a Medicare Advantage plan. Medigap policies just fall. And to explain what Medigap means exactly, you'd have to sit down and show you. But Medigap policies cover whatever the gaps are in the original Medicare program. With those plans, you are using the Medicare doctor network throughout the country. Sometimes I'll have people come in to me and say, I know I'm going to have a hip replacement the first thing I get on Medicare because I know Medicare is going to be better insurance than what I have right now. And so I might advise them to go on to a Medigap policy for now and then take a look at a Medicare Advantage down the road, because Medigap policies are not always guaranteed issue like the Medicare Advantage plans are. So those are things I help people plan out if they want to share that information with me and what their goals are with their health care like that.
You know, this might sound simplistic, but there's a Medicare and a Medigap. Why don't they just make a Medicare that doesn't have gaps in it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, just one plan.
Well, Colleen, you got to think about that. That would make our Medicare Part B premiums go up significantly. And as I, you know, keep working in this field and seeing, I see the government wanting us to have more and more skin in the game on this stuff. So, you know, there's things like your Medicare premium could go up. You know, that's subject to go up.
Just to try to fill in those gaps.
The Medicare premiums are already inordinately low.
Yes.
And as most people out there know, Medicare itself is a program that's not financially carrying itself. The government is carrying it in terms of its cost, the actual cost related to Medicare.
So.
Yeah. Not a good financial plan in and of itself.
All right.
But because it's carried by the government, it's inordinately low in terms of coverage, what it provides compared to what you might get on the private sector.
Medicare is the question with that is more what's not covered versus what is covered.
Yeah.
So the coverage under Medicare is extremely good in my opinion.
Extremely good.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. So that's a really, it's another chapter for people to really take a look at in terms of what's the best for me, given my health, given my spouse's health, given our longevity, planning, cost, what our current coverages are, how much do we want to replicate, how much do we want to pay out of pocket? People can really plan this.
Oh, yeah.
Take a look.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's PROUT, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes,